We are in the second of 3 weeks of a homily series we're titling Unexpected Generosity. Below that on the white line in fine print is the saying, finding meaning and purpose in uncertain times. And we seem to be living in uncertain times, and that's a question I hear repeated a lot. How do we live through these days? How do we find meaning or purpose, or what's the good news? And the answer appears to be that we are recipients of unexpected generosity. God has blessed us and continues to bless us abundantly. And last week we were told it's not for us alone. There are Lazaruses in our life whom God has given you and me what we have so that we can pass it on to our sisters and brothers in need, whoever Lazarus might be. That wasn't the only answer. And this week's readings seem to lead us in a different direction. A different direction that the uncertainty of our times raises for us. Habakkuk's prayer is really our prayer a lot, isn't it? Lord, in these uncertain times, there's terror, there's discord, there's violence. Where are you? Where are you? Are you going to act, and are you going to act immediately? Where are you, Lord? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does what's going on seem to persist? We're entering into the area of mystery, and I'm not going to attempt to answer that today. There are other homilies that will talk about suffering and evil. You see, the Lord doesn't answer Habakkuk either. He just simply says, have faith. Have faith because in the face of uncertainty and in the face of the faith that you have been gifted with, the unexpected generosity that is yours, you have one of two choices. And these words will sound familiar to some of you. You can either choose to be bitter, or you can choose to be better. Some are choosing the path of bitterness. And they're isolating themselves and their families in this time. They're living in fear. And people in their lives are only there for their benefit or the benefit of their children. Otherwise, they're suspicious. There's an indifference between the Lazaruses. It's somebody else's problem and not ours. And they're the ones that in their prayer, they come to God and say, God, I want you to act, but I want you to act right now. There is a better path. The path that the faith invites us to travel. You see, on the choice of faith, our Lord is saying to us, I'm the good shepherd, and I am shepherding you. Just follow where I lead. Follow where I'm taking you. I didn't set ancient Israel free just to have them die in the desert, and I'm not going to abandon you either. This week's invitation is to live by that faith. Live by that faith while the vision that the Lord has for us continues to unfold. Be patient, the Lord says. I am not finished yet. When I pray for things or pray for people, I sure love the answer yes. Don't you? That God is acting in the way that I hope he acts. I understand that he is God and I am not, and sometimes the answer is no. And I've learned to accept that because the shepherd is leading me and leading us. The hardest answer, though, is the answer, wait. Wait because that word seems to come in silence, where the Lord doesn't say yes or doesn't say no. And in these uncertain times, perhaps he's saying, wait, the vision is still unfolding. My plan is not complete yet. Hang in there and trust. Can you trust? Can you be open to what the Lord is going to do or what he's going to reveal? That openness and patience requires a lot from the Lord, and he's willing to give it. He's willing to give it if each day we pause and say, Lord, this day is your gift to me. I give it back to you. This life and will that you've given me, I give back to you. Tell me, what's your will for my life, my family, my place of living, my place of work? What's your will? And then give me the strength to carry it out. And the will is always somewhere in loving God above all things, in loving neighbor as self. Live by faith and live patiently by faith. That's the direction we are offered this week. And it would make sense if your question is question, if one of your questions doesn't sound something like this. How do I live by faith? How do I do it? I'm just one person in a big world. I'm like a drop of water in a great ocean. How do I live by faith, Lord? What can I do? And again, the answer that keeps coming back to me is the answer that comes from the unexpected generosity that the Lord has blessed us with. And that's simply to live generously. Live generously. And believe that God can do great things with your, what might seem meager, contribution. Meager only in the sense that you're one among many, and I'm one among many. Live generously. Jesus was walking and teaching. He's walking around the Sea of Galilee. People are gathering in the hundreds, in the thousands. 5,000 people are following him. He's teaching and he's healing and he's forgiving, and sunset is about to come and people are starting to get hungry, and the apostles are saying, Lord, send them home. Their hunger is their problem. Let them get to the grocery stores before they close. And our Lord says, no, it's not their problem, it's yours. And it's mine. Give them something to eat yourself. How do you feed 5,000 people, they ask. And a little boy comes up. Little boy comes up and says, I've got 5 loaves of bread, and I've got 2 choices. I can keep them for myself and my family, or I can share them. Lord, here they are. 5 loaves of bread. And I'll throw in a couple of fish I caught too. With that meager donation, 5,000 people were fed physically. They were fed with some direction in the uncertainty of their life. They were fed with the promise that the Lord would always be with them. And they were fed with the promise of the Eucharist, that the Lord would feed us with his own body and blood eventually. One small gift can do that much. A woman walking the streets of Calcutta noticed people dying in the street. It was the Lazaruses of her life. And she saw one, and she went and picked up one and cared for one, and then one after that, and one after that. And one small, frail lady started a worldwide movement. That lady's Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Oh, God can do great things with the little bit we contribute. There was a guy named Willard Millard Fuller, pardon me. Mr. Fuller was an attorney, a very successful attorney. And he was reaping the benefits of his success, living a very good life because God had been so generous. And yet on the inside, something was missing. Something wasn't right. He wasn't happy. He and his wife made the decision to sell everything. He retired from his profession as an attorney. After selling everything, he gave most of it away, following the teachings of Francis of Assisi and others. And then in that search for what's next, he and another couple eventually started what we know as Habitat for Humanity. He gathered a group of people together and said, let's partner with those in need so that those in need can have stable housing. You now know how wide that movement is. God can do a lot with little things. I read in the Washington Post yesterday of an event that happened 10 years ago in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. A 34-year-old man got up and did some violent acts. 5 children were wounded fatally, others wounded severely. He hurt himself fatally in the same process too. That small town is not known today because of that violence. That small town is known today by its response. And the response of this small Amish community in the face of terrible, terrible violence was forgiveness. Townspeople went to the mother of this 34-year-old, this mother who thought she'd have to move out of town, that she would be ostracized. And people came and said, no, we're going to forgive him. And you're a grieving parent just as we are. We stand in solidarity with you. They built this beautiful wooden piece of art that hangs over the patio door in her house. It says, forgiven. And she says, I know I'm forgiven. And that town is known by forgiveness. Talk today very commonly is forgiveness only comes after the journey of healing emotionally and intellectually and psychologically is done. The Amish forgive first and forgive daily and let the healing happen through that journey. God can do lots with simple gestures. Oh, forgiveness, simple, but challenging at the same time. Last week, final story, Father Howe and I came before you in the name of Archbishop Hebda and said Lazarus is living in Louisiana, victims of terrible flooding, people who hadn't recovered from all the devastations of Hurricane Sandy. And many of you contributed. But whatever you contributed, when it added up with all the contributions given by everybody last weekend, $9,000, almost close to $10,000. I didn't get a chance to pull out the exact figure, but well over $9,500. Our little contributions, when added to others, allows God to do great things. Great things. That's faith in action. Just some examples. So with this unexpected generosity given to us by the Lord, the better choice, living in faith and living that faith generously. And we feed that faith in this word, in this Eucharist, and in our gathering today.